I'm so happy that you have an opportunity to establish a little bit of community sharing before we actually get on our call every day. It's really wonderful. And as Yeshua said, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also. And so just communing on this level brings him into our presence. Our very love for one another is the fulfillment of one of his commandments, to be there for one another, to greet one another with joy and gladness and cheer. That is what he wants for us. And that's one of the most important things we do on our blessing call. We welcome one another into the temple of our hearts. And because we do this in connection around the world, we don't become distracted with bricks and mortar or stained glass windows or organ music or hymnals. We're here from the worshipful love of our inner being and our guidance to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ and our Creator. And so welcome everyone who has come this moment to be in this group to receive a blessing of Christ. You are so loved, and you are so blessed to be here. And it's my great hope that you will be so infilled by the Holy Spirit that it will just, your cup will overflow, and you will be a blessing to everyone whose lives you touch in the next week. And so it is our invocation for this day on this beautiful October 13th. I hope everything is moving along as it should be in your lives. I know some of you do have some challenges, as do we right now, preparing for a move, and it's a bigger job than I anticipated. But we also have wonderful events happening, including our class time and our seminar about what matters most. I'm getting some wonderful testimonials from this, and I highly encourage anyone who didn't get in on this seminar the first round to either enroll late, as you still could do, or after it's finished to take the archived seminar. It will change your life in the most positive way you can ever imagine. And now I would just love to hear from people. We've had callers on the line every time for the last 3 weeks, and I just couldn't get around to your calls. So if there's any carryover, any questions, any love to share, any major realizations that you want to bring into the community, now is your time to do that. And I so welcome your calls, because one of you speaks for everyone. And I think that in such a Christ-centered community, it would be almost impossible for one person to have a question or a comment that did not address and satisfy the interests of others. So I see Kathy is on the line. Hi, Kathy, and welcome. You're on.
Well, it's so good to talk to you. I listen every time, but I think this is one of the, maybe the first time I've ever spoken.
I think so. It's great to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear your voice too, Glenda. I just really wanted to talk about something that I've been doing lately.
Okay.
And thought I might share it with the others. A long time ago, many, many years ago, when we were still doing the tapes, before the Love Without End book came out,
uh-huh.
We would order the tapes as soon as they were ready. And one time you sent with the tapes a bumper sticker.
And yes.
It says on there, love is who you are.
Right.
And I love that bumper sticker. In fact, you sent me two. I gave one to another friend of mine who's very spiritually oriented. And I put this little bumper sticker different places around in my house. And, you know, like Yeshua said, we're always busy with the just everything about the day that has to be done. And we lose sight of our spiritual life sometimes, and just getting things done and moving along in life's path. And anyway, I love having that little bumper sticker.
And, oh, I'm so glad. And actually, Kathy, thanks for bringing that up, because, you know, there's a real therapy in the affirmation of posters and signs and pictures you can put up around your house that say, you know, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, this is where I'm going. And there are many, many motivational teachers that have stressed to people to put in writing and then put on the walls your values, what you stand for, because even if you walk by quickly and you have a one-second glance at that word, your mind picks it up.
It really does. Even my conscious mind is doing it, and I love it, because I'll be maybe tense or upset about something, and then I see that out of the corner of my eye, and I think, oh, gosh, that's right, I'm love.
That's terrific. And, you know, sometimes that little reminder is all we need.
That's true.
Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of other things on my walls, I found some very beautiful pictures of waterfalls, and I've got those around too, because they just kind of remind me of God's constant flow of love and abundance. And so just seeing those and focusing on those reminds me to open myself up to that abundance that's already there.
Absolutely. And it works. This is why I'm an artist, because I know that subliminally, pictures or a simple written phrase like love is who you are can enter our consciousness and bypass the filters and blocks so much more easily than complex statements like chapters and books. We have to sit down with a book to really focus on it. And these little visual bites or sound bites that come up, they cut right through.
Well, it sure is working for me, and I just wanted to share it in case others might want to try that idea too.
Thank you, Kathy. I really appreciate that. And how many others on our call have never spoken? I hope you'll get the courage and let me hear from you. See how wonderful it is just to come into the community. Everybody's got something to offer. I know that you do.
I do always feel a little afraid I'll get tongue-tied, but every time, as soon as you said, hello, Kathy, it was like I feel like I was a better connection with the Holy Spirit just came right through.
Well, yeah, you know, and speaking of that, this is the power of conversation.
Yes.
You know, everyone is terrified of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone. It's a high, high, high percentage. They're more scared of public speaking than being audited by the IRS. You know, I mean, it comes high on the list. But the minute, this is one of the things that a teacher learns to facilitate, because the minute a conversation is introduced into that, it eases the whole transaction. And I want to apply this to the whole power of prayer, because so often when we pray in generalities. And in praying in generalities, it's really hard to wrap our mind, our heart, and our being around this need or this want or this passion that we're expressing to God, our Creator. And we lose connection because of the generalities. And one of the things I have taught in my courses is to allow prayer to become a conversation that evolves so that God can speak back to you. And then you can talk, you can speak more and listen more and then speak more and listen more. And in that form of conversation, you can actually refine, focus, and develop your prayers and allow God in response to teach you how to find His offerings to you, His blessings to you. Sometimes the blessings have already been given, and we're just not seeing it. We're not finding it. We're not focusing on it. Having a conversation makes all the difference. So, again, thanks, Kathy, for saying that. And we have someone else on the phone now from area code 970, and you're on. Hi.
Hi, this is Cynthia O'Neill. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to pop on the phone and just thank you so much for all that you are offering in Yeshua through all this wonderful information and education to illuminate us and our hearts and everything. And I'd shared a poem that I wrote back in September last year, and I shared it on Facebook recently on our group, Christ Blessing. And it just fit in so much with what you're talking about, because life is such an adventure. And I would like to just read it to everybody who's on this call, because it just would fit in with what you're speaking about.
Sure. Is it relatively short?
Quick.
Okay.
It's so quick.
Sure.
Okay. And it's called First Know Thyself and The Wilderness Adventure. Into the wilderness I go, a place that is unknown, an adventure that awaits me. There I will make a discovery. This wilderness place is within me. It is full of undiscovered territory. Why have I waited so long to know me? To know myself is the discovery, the adventure that is my destiny. First know myself and there will be clarity, this wilderness place of prosperity. All that I am is a part of everything. The wholeness I feel must begin within me. Awe and wonder opens me to the possibilities that my uniqueness is the opportunity. Breath is the life force that moves me, giving me the words to transform me. Trusting myself is the epiphany. It gives flight to my desires and frees me. To love myself is to know myself. It is the discovery of my true nature. I am the love and the light that shines bright, lighting the path of my destiny. And that's when you speaking of the destiny.
Yes.
Is why this reminded me so much.
Oh, yes.
Of what you're speaking about and what this class is about and what matters most. So I would
just
want to
share that. Is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing with everyone on the blessing call. Thank you. That is a blessing in itself just to hear it.
Yeah.
Beautiful words that obviously came from your heart and your higher guidance.
Yeah.
And it's an example of how when we connect with our soul, miracles happen. Miracles happen. You know, all of us chose, through being born, to walk on this pathway of adventure, not knowing what's down the road or around the bend, and allowing that to be an encounter that challenges us so that we can find out about all that we are, who we are, and if need be, to call in our higher guidance to get through it. But all the great epiphanies in life happen when the soul and the physical person going through the adventure connect. This is when faith and the power of faith explodes in our life or causes us to have a new idea, a grand new direction, or a realization of our destiny. And so I think all of us go through this alternating pattern of connecting with our higher self and then losing ourselves again in the adventure, connecting with our soul, then losing ourselves again in the adventure. And so often we judge ourselves for that, and we shouldn't. It's part of the rhythm of life. It's part of what we chose. The important thing is we don't stay down under too long, and that we reconnect frequently and knowing how to do it. This is one of the great benefits of this blessing call, is that it facilitates that moment of reconnection. And I believe this is the real reason the Sabbath was instituted by Moses in the ancient days of the Hebrews, because you can only be immersed in the joys of sensory fulfillment and the competitive challenges of life so long until you could just be hypnotized by it. And that's where you are and stay. And way too many people are stuck there today. But the Sabbath was a day to rest and reconnect with God. And, of course, as we reconnect with God, we do that through reconnecting with our own soul and our soul's own pathway to a higher level where we do find the answers that you so beautifully talked about.
Well, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
All are just wonderful, and all that you are offering us. And I encourage everybody who's on this call to get into what matters most, because it is amazing. So,
I have been getting letters from people saying, you know, every other course inspired me and caused me to want to live a better life, but this is the one that's changing my life. And I just keep getting that from letters. And it's true. When you have the right priority, it's already been demonstrated for over a century in the practical affairs of life, you know, from the days of the great industrialists, that doing the setting up your daily priorities, doing the most important thing first, going on to the next and the next and the next, it really works in terms of generating optimum production and profit. And that's just in the physical world. What about the power of knowing what matters most for our body, for our physical life and soul connection, to actually activate our destiny and fulfill it? That's just right on the cutting edge of miracles.
Yes, and I'm getting God bumps all over me, so.
Oh, good. Good. Well, I'm having God bumps, too, and really loving teaching this course.
Yes.
It's truly amazing. And thank you for speaking up. There are so many things we could talk about today. And I never know. There's so many subjects. I usually take them from the callers. And remember, it's not too late to dial in. It's *6. And then 1, because I'm going to respond a little more to what we've already brought up, and then I'll watch for other community members that want to participate. And it's good to participate. I encourage it. Building on that idea of what matters most, the first thing really that does matter most is showing up in your life as a spiritual being. And using that to embrace an attitude for your life that is capable of steering your earthly ship to a prosperous and meaningful harbor. As Yeshua said, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's not somewhere else. It's not in the ethers. It's not in some magical place where all you have to do is practice wish fulfillment. The kingdom of heaven is here. And that, of course, has been the greatest stumbling block to anyone's understanding of his teachings, because when we look around ourselves in the world, we see problems, we see conflict, we see lots of negative emotion, and some people going up the mountain, some people sliding down, and we see illness and despair and hunger, and anyone with a conscience has to ask, well, how can this possibly be the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's something we have to build together in order for the kingdom of heaven to be in the outer world. But it can start in your life with just the right application of faith and attitude. You show up in your life as the soul, as the being you are, and then you set a course for your life. And you set it intentionally. You know, you don't have to be happy only when positive things are happening. You can be happy in spite of things that are happening. This is what all the saints have taught us. This is what Yeshua taught us. He taught us the transcendent power of being guided by higher principles and faith in the midst of the most horrible events. Some of the greatest people of the last century actually went through imprisonment, either in prisoner of war camps or in Nazi death prisons or war itself. Many of them went through the Great Depression in the most horrible, debilitating conditions as children. And yet they learned to inoculate themselves against the ups and downs of life by realizing that they can bring in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Creator, and the blessings of Christ by holding the faith and holding the very most positive attitude about life. And we learn from them. So many people have taught this in the last century because it was a huge lesson that many people learned. So many people came to this country after the Korean War and the Vietnam War to find new lives in the United States. They couldn't speak a word of English, and yet somehow they found the hope and the courage to believe that they had a better life. And they turned out in many ways to be more successful than the typical upper middle class kids that had everything they wanted and just chose to get a college education and continue being in a middle class lifestyle. A lot of your happiness and success really come down to what you choose for your life, not what circumstances bring you. And we find the power for that by maintaining our connection between the earthly self and the soul that we are, which never 100% incarnates. I am convinced that we don't, because I know so many times when I am in prayer and meditation, it's as if I go to a higher level and I'm there with Yeshua, just as if he were visiting me the first time he did, which makes me wonder about the whole nature of our visitation. Did he come entirely down to my human pathway, the floor of my studio, or did he lift me up so that somewhere we met halfway in a higher place? And I was more available as a soul to hear what he had to say and to ask the appropriate questions for a destiny I had not even yet discovered. Is it possible I found my faith on that higher level? I think it's quite plausible, because I remember when I was writing the book, it would be like taking an elevator ride every day up to a certain level. You see, I would start writing every day with my notes, and I had my notes well organized into the 14 principal subject categories that the book was going to be built around. But I would start with my notes every day. I would organize them. I would start writing, and then in the process of writing, I would begin to remember more than I had ever written down, and then I would be in this place of consciousness where I was newly reliving my conversation with him. People ask Glenda, how in the world can you remember all of that? And I really don't think I could have if it were not possible to take that elevator ride up to the rest of me that has never fully, completely incarnated. See, I don't think we do fully incarnate. I think that we put the sandbags on and we take a dive into experience. And then we block that higher knowledge so that we can have a learning experience. When we need to know more, we take an elevator ride and find out. Now, this doesn't mean that when we pray, we're praying to ourselves. We're not. We're praying to God when we truly pray. But when we truly pray with God, we pray with our whole person. And that brings in the higher parts of ourselves. We may start off our prayer with the needs and wants of our physical person, the physical person lost in the doubts and worries and conflicts of earthly existence, all the problems we don't know how to solve. But when we truly pray in an open, unconditional way, what happens is we take an elevator ride, and by the end of our prayer, we are a better person. We are a more fulfilled person. Even if we don't have all the answers yet, we're more at peace There's more fullness in us, more completeness in us. And I'm sure, I'm quite convinced that's what happened. When Yeshua would come and welcome me every day, he would virtually say, though not in words, but with gestures and with intonations and with the energy of his presence, he would say, come and follow me. And I would. I would come and follow him. And the presence of him in me would join in conversations with him to unfold not only that painting, but all the work that would come in the following years. And I think this is how we attract and unfold our destiny, is we travel back and forth between our adventure and our higher ground for the whole of our life. When you look at a newborn baby, you really hold them, you look in their eyes. I cannot imagine anyone who believes that that soul is fully there. That is one of the most transcendent experiences I think anyone can have, is looking in the eyes of a baby that's newborn or only a few weeks or a few months old. Their eyes are just still virtually dilated with light and the spirit that has filled them, that is not fully settled into the patterns of worldly configuration yet. You're looking at a transcendent soul that has taken on a physical path, and that physical path is not even solid yet. This is why it hurts their feelings so much when they fall down and bump their knee. Even if they don't skin it, it hurts their feelings to actually find out that they're on a path that could hurt. And I think this is one of the big problems we have all through our life, is when we run into a physical pain, an emotional pain, a financial challenge, or loss of property due to a catastrophe, or friends or a loved one due to failed relationships or death. I think as much as anything else, we get our feelings hurt and we lose our faith that God didn't take care of us. Or somehow we have bumped our knee too hard. We're like the little kid that cries mostly because life has become an insult. And doggone it, this makes me mad and hurts my feelings. And I'm just going to cry about it and hold a mood. I'm not going to pray, and doggone it, this is the way it's going to be until God proves that he loves me and life proves that it's good and so on and so on. We've all been there. We've all thrown our tantrums. I have watched little kids over and over again. They'll fall down, and as long as they don't really truly hurt themselves, they dust themselves up, get up, and go play again. But the minute someone looks at them, like I'm there, I'm looking at this little kid. I've got tons of nieces and nephews, and I've watched them all grow up, and the minute an adult sees them, that's when they cry, because they know that they can get someone into their sympathy of, see, life hurt me. You've got to make it all right. And there's something we need to look at there as adults. How much are we doing that? This is why we have to restore our faith in order to bring the soul into more of its presence in our life and thereby bring about the miracles that God and the Holy Spirit are offering to us, instead of blocking the miracles or at least not knowing where to find them. So now, as we move into our blessing this day, this is what we'll focus on. We're going to just be seated now with your shoes and socks removed, your feet on the ground, your head pointed toward the heavens, and be in your heart. Allow the fullness of your being to be present. Restore your faith in all that you are and your ability to be here in life in the fullness of all that you are, receiving the blessings of Christ, the love of God, the revelations and miracles of the Holy Spirit, and all that our beautiful Mother Earth has to offer. This is an energetic blessing that will take about 3 minutes. And while it's happening, just continue your prayer of faith. Your faith of embracing all that you are as a child of God. Just be there with this feeling, this understanding, and this fullness of your being. And allow Yeshua and the Holy Spirit to do the rest, connecting God with the earth and passing through you their glorious energy for the perfection of your life. I will pray my invocation to Yeshua, then we will begin, and when we're finished, I'll let you know. And then I would like you to lie down and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think, just rest, assimilate, and receive the energy and the love that has been brought to you. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, brother of all mankind, the one who teaches us to walk in faith, embracing the adventure, and yet knowing that inside that adventure, we still are children of God, who can fulfill our life with more of all that we are, as we ask for the blessings of the Holy Spirit, as we discover the Christ within, as we receive the love of God. We ask now for your blessings, that we may be more whole and therefore more healed, that we may be more united and therefore less alone, that we may be more lifted and therefore more in love, that we may be more aware and therefore more filled with our destiny. We ask for all of these things through the power of love. Amen. The energetic conveyance is complete now. Go and rest and fully receive all the blessings of love and wholeness that have been bestowed upon you. I love you. God loves you. And I hope to see you again next week.